From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 15th day of April, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of AgMarket.net, Ben Brown from MU Extension, the University of Missouri Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute will join us to take up this morning's NOPA report. We'll talk about the price of corn and soybeans and his outlook as well. And then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast for here in the United States and in South America with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics, and we'll do all of that on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn for the day settled at $4.31.5. That was down 4 cents. July at $4.44.25, down 3. And December futures at $4.69.25, 2.75 lower. The May soybeans at $11.58.25, down 15.75. July $11.72, down 14.75. And November beans down 9 futures, or down 9 cents at $11.67.25. Bean meal futures were at $5.90 lower. The bean oil for the day down 42 cents. Wheat futures soft red July at $5.67.5, 3.25 lower. And the hard red in the July at $5.80.75, down 6.25 for the day. Live cattle futures on the afternoon, $2.35 higher. Feeders are up $3.80, and lean hogs 37.5 cents higher. Crude oil at $85.56 a barrel, down 8 cents, and the diesel fuel 2.6 of a lower per gallon at $2.65.8 a cent, and gasoline on the RBOB down a penny and 4 cents at $2.76.2 for the day. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at AgMarket.net to discuss what's been happening in the marketplace. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for being with us. Tell me what you saw in the trade overnight last night and into the day today.
Well, back in Phil, last Friday, went home there, some concern about the Middle East or world tensions, and fortunately, the Israeli defensive system there, the Iron Curtain, pretty well took care of the incoming from all sectors there. And for the sake, man, you just wonder, why in the world advertise an attack like that? It feels like the arms dealers are the ones promoting this and wants heads up and see what works and what doesn't work. But a little bit of relief from that. And basically, the metals was softer here. Through the day sessions, the energy market pulled back a little bit. So a little bit of risk off. Things aren't over with, but things are just a little bit more calmer. We did see the market pull back from last week's highs. We're retracing and pulling back towards the lower end of the range. So we'll see what happens as we go forward here. From the standpoint, the technical picture here, it's pretty well laid out. The funds continue wanting to sell the market. They sold 3,400 contracts of wheat, 6,700 contracts of beans, and 7,300 contracts of corn going into midday. This morning's news, export inspections report, we shipped out 52.4 million bushels of corn, 15.9 million bushels of beans, and 20.2 million bushels of wheat. Wheat was above, a little above trade expectations, but the corn and the soybean shipments was respectable there, so not too bad. Export-wise, new sales, we saw that the Mexicans came forward here. Mexico bought 165,000 tons of U.S. corn, 135,000 was old and 30 was new. So Mexico continues to be one of our best trading partners here. We'll take it. We kind of shopped around a little bit, visited a little bit with producers. Weather-wise, it seems like activity's picking up fairly good. Central Illinois west, quite a bit of activity. Central Illinois and east, kind of hit and miss. I know locally here, we're up and going. Guys are anxious and getting fairly aggressive on getting the crop in the ground. This afternoon, we'll see the progress report. Ideas are we have about 7% of the corn crop in the ground. That's where we were a year ago. Average this time of year is 5%. So middle of April, the calendar says, giddy up and let's get going here if you're able. Bean-wise, about 3%. We'll see where we are this afternoon on those estimates. The other thing we saw here today was the NOPA crush report. The trade was looking for 197 to 199 million bushels being crushed. Estimate came in at 196.4, but boy, that's another record crush number there. So we're continuing to see this crush pace stay strong. This is kind of offsetting what we're losing in some of this export demand. Bean stocks, oil stocks, that is 1.85 billion pounds. That's just a little bit above what they're looking for. But we're early in the crush season. We'll see how that flows here as we move forward. And last thing probably that is going to be the main event and most important event is the weather forecast. The drier regions of western Iowa, central Iowa, they're expected to receive anywhere from 1.5 to 3 inches of rain here in this 7-day forecast. So hopefully they'll have a little relief here and get some moisture to work with, whereas the eastern belt continues to be saturated and they need a little drier forecast here, Todd.
You mentioned that the funds positions making sales were being driven by the technicals. What do those technicals point to on the downside?
The soybean market's caught in a downtrend, channeling through here. If we're down below the 10 and 20-day moving average, those seems to be popular numbers that they want to kind of follow here. As long as we remain below the 10 and 20-day moving average, I imagine they'll probably want to continue to sell a little bit of strength. Last week's low in the beans, that's going to be the key important. We had that crop report, have it out of the way. Now we need to make sure we hold last week's lows. If we can do that, we can start to turn this 45-day cycle back up the upside and challenge some resistance levels. Corn-wise, if you look at a corn chart, we've just been sideways here for the last 2 months. This old crop corn, this 420 is pretty good support. Resistance is up around 445. So I think when you look at the moving averages, we're flatlined sideways. If we can pop out either side here, we ought to have some follow through according to which direction we go.
Anything else for the day before I let you go?
Keep an eye on the livestock market here. It's been hit pretty good. The hog market particularly, we're about 9 to 10 bucks off last week's highs. Cattle-wise, everybody's been kind of negative cattle through here, but cattle was able to come back and close $2 to $2.30 higher. Feeders up $3 to $4 today. So see if we can't see some strength in the livestock sector as we move forward here and start to see the grills continue to be fired up every day.
Hey, thanks much.
You bet. Take care.
You too. That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with AgMarket.net. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can listen again anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org. Friday, University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger and Gio Prezafontes wrote an article for the Crop Central website, that's within the FarmDoc website, under Field Crops. In it, they write that while the weather since last fall has been somewhat warmer and a little drier than normal, at least through March, then that April's likely to get rid of all that drier part of it, that they don't see anything in the previous research that's been done which suggests either here in Illinois or in any other of the land-grant institutions there would have been any substantial loss of fall applied in over the winter time. And then they went on to say that corn plants need access to some in as they get established and as the nodal root system begins to develop. And if the warming continues as planting progresses this this year. Mineralized N will help minimize any concerns anybody might have about available nitrogen. But applying some N with the planter, as broadcast with herbicide, or as bands of drier liquid fertilizer applied over the planted row, will eliminate these concerns altogether. The closer to the row this is applied, they write, the lower the amount needed. 10 pounds of N is enough if UAN or another N fertilizer is applied in or next to the furrow, or 2x2, that's 2 inches below and 2 inches to the side of the seed. It doesn't take much N, it just needs to be in the right place by the time the plant needs it. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org. There you can read articles like this one. It's posted there at willag.org. It's the top of the page at the moment. And you can find other articles from the agricultural economist, as well as the entomologist, the animal scientist, right here on this campus at the University of Illinois. We're now joined by Ben Brown. He's at MU Extension. That's University of Missouri and FAPRI, the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute. Hey, Ben, thank you much for being with us today. The NOPA crush report was released earlier. Can you tell me about it, please, for soybean?
Yeah, sure. So the National Oilseed Processors Association put out their March crush reports. They showed that the U.S., or at least their members, which we think is about 95% of total soybeans crushed, give or take a percent or two here or there, crushed 196.4 million bushels in the month of March. That's an all-time record for any month of the year. So we continue this growth. And in fact, if you look at it on a chart, it almost looks like exponential growth here the last couple of months when we talk about like a trough and then just growing at a very quick rate. But yeah, that's up from the February number that was 186.2, so a 10 million bushel month-over-month increase. We continue to see very strong crush numbers, and to me, this just signals that USDA will eventually come in and revise their soybean crush number higher, because currently we're sitting about 79 million bushels ahead of the same period last year. That's a 6% year-over-year growth. USDA is currently looking for a 4% year-over-year rise. So I think we'll see USDA go in and increase that soybeans crushed for or crushed here in the United States number in the next month or two.
Do you have any idea why crush has been on such a rapid pace? And this is, as you said, not the first year. It's probably the third or fourth year that this has happened.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, soybeans now are getting cheaper. We've constantly kind of been seeing a downward trajectory in cash soybean prices and other types of energy prices too. Natural gas prices have come down, and certainly that's helped spur a little bit more crush as those margins have gotten a little bit better. You know, we continue to see strong soybean oil use. Again, that's feeding into the renewable diesel market. But we've also seen soybean oil stocks rapidly rise here over the last couple of months as we've produced or as we've crushed a lot of soybeans. We've seen that stocks number just kind of constantly rise over the last five or six months. And so to me, that signals that there's still a lot of demand for soybean oil, but we're crushing more than what we're using at the current point. So that's what's causing those stocks numbers to rise. So we can't do this forever. We can't keep increasing without, you know, constantly increasing that soybean oil stocks. And I do worry that we're, you know, getting out ahead of the skis a little bit here. But, you know, it takes a lot of money to put in soybean crush facilities. Once you build it, the kind of the wisdom here is that you're going to run it to full capacity. And so even if you need just a fraction of an increase and you're going to build a facility, you might end up with more crush for now, waiting for that demand to kind of catch up a little bit. So to me, that's where we're at right now is we have a, you know, a very strong picture on the crush side, but it is creating a little bit bearish, you know, a soybean oil picture, soybean oil price picture until some of that demand can kind of catch up.
On that note, let's talk a little bit about one of the demand sides. This would be for both bean meal and for corn, the livestock sector. Avian influenza is a problem within the dairy industry as well as within the nation's bird flocks. Is there concern from your perspective?
Yeah, so the poultry one, I'll start there. So the poultry one is maybe the one that I'm the most concerned about, I think, impacting maybe soybean meal and even some corn demand here. We've seen, you know, some eye-popping depopulation numbers. You know, you think about how many birds we have in the country, and it might not seem as big anymore when you take it as a fraction, but still a lot of birds being depopulated. I don't want to take away from that. And certainly we've seen it at the grocery store. Egg prices have really rose here at the grocery stores across the Midwest. And I think my problem, Todd, is I'm not sure exactly how many birds we're going to end up depopulating, right? I'm not a veterinarian, so I'm not sure how many we end up depopulating. But to me, that's where the demand impact for corn and soybean meal is going to come from. When we start talking about cattle, now that's a whole different ball of wax. I'm not actually sure where we go on the cattle market. One, in terms of cattle prices, veterinarians tell us that the disease isn't something that's going to cause large harm in the cattle sector. I don't know. To me, the signal is it doesn't seem like consumers are catching on that this disease is having an outbreak in cattle across the country, even though the markets have sold off some on that fear. But I just don't get the sense that the general public knows about it. Do they eventually come to realization and then the market tanks? I'm not sure, actually. I have to say I don't know when we talk about that. Of course, that would have an impact on feed demand, but I don't know where we go with that.
Well, let's talk about another area then.
Thanks, Don. I appreciate it.
let's talk about Ukraine and China. And China's import of grain and oil seeds, it has canceled corn imports from Ukraine. Does that mean that we might see some in other parts of the world, maybe here?
So this actually is of concern, I shouldn't say actually, because I am concerned about avian influenza as well. But I would say that right now, at least for the corn and soybean markets, when we talk about, you know, imports into China, this is something I think to be aware of, is that we see rapid, you know, kind of recessionary tendencies within the Chinese market right now. And the last couple of weeks, they've been canceling imports of grain. They've been using it as a kind of a tagline of raising the price of grains right here at planting to incentivize some more planting. But we did see them cancel about 5 cargoes of Ukrainian booked corn for delivery here in the next couple of weeks. And that's concerning given how cheap Ukrainian corn is to the rest of the world. If China's canceling their cheapest corn, you know, I think that just signals that we're not going to pick up. You know, it's not a net zero sum game. It's actually corn that was going to be consumed in China is now on the world market ready to be, you know, purchased by somebody else as well. And so I do have probably some pretty large concerns about, you know, the fact that China is canceling corn from their cheapest buyer or from their cheapest supplier.
Anything else we should take up before I let you go for the day?
Yeah, I would just simply say, you know, it's we're kind of in this tendency to drift lower in commodity prices again. We could see a little bit of a rally in nearby cash prices here at the end of the month, as we have some basis contracts ending that kind of could potentially cause a little bit of a rally similar to what we saw at the end of February. But outside of that, there's really not anything that's pulling these markets higher outside of soybean crush. Everything else seems to be pretty weak to trending lower. And managed money traders, these big firm traders, seem to be pretty confident that the market's going to move lower because they're hanging their shingle out there very, very strongly on the short side. So they must be pretty confident that the market's moving lower, and certainly there hasn't been any fundamental support outside that soybean crush number. So,
well, we'll find out more when we talk with you again next month.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
That's Ben Brown. He is an agricultural economist at MU Extension, University of Missouri, and the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute. Mark Russo of Everstream Analytics is now here to take a look at the weather forecast. Hi, Mark. Thank you for being with us. It's warm, really fantastic, though it feels like late May, not mid-April at this point. What can you tell me about the weather here in the United States?
Well, Todd, for corn planting here over the next couple of weeks, pretty typical spring pattern. And what that will equate to is a lot of temperature variability, as well as variability in precipitation. Now, specifically for this week, it's going to be the eastern Midwest, which will have a bit of a break after last week's heavy rainfall. expect almost, you know, 7 open days here. 6 of them with some scattered shower activity, only 1 with widespread rains. So a better situation in the Eastern Belt this week. But then for the Western Belt, that's where the higher amounts are going to be, especially over the next few days, even a threat of severe weather here coming up the next 48 to 60 hours. So all in all, a bit of a mixed bag here. One other thing to add is that with the temperatures that we're currently seeing very warm, that is going to change. And late this week, over the weekend, it's going to briefly turn unseasonably cool, but it's not going to last very long. Going to kind of quickly warm back up to warmer than normal levels, and that will continue to keep soil temperatures at favorable levels here for planting.
What do you think the last 15 days of April will really be like? I know you've talked about the next week, but once we get out to the last maybe 7 or 8 days, and then those first few days of May.
Yeah, as it's looking out, last week of April into early May, still the, again, variability here. Next week, in terms of the rain activity, looks again to shift a bit further east and south in the areas of the Delta, maybe a little bit skewed eastern Midwest, but it doesn't look as heavy as, again, what took place here last week. And again, it's all kind of all over the board, highly variable. And looks like, well, the one thing from a temperature standpoint, if anything here, looks like more warm days versus cool days late this month and into early May as well.
You've been watching South America all season. How have things changed, if at all, there?
Well, let's start with Brazil Safrinha. And we've seen here lately improvement in rainfall and soil moisture for the northern belt, that's center west, but also improvement in the southern belt in and around the state of Paraná. That still continues here this week, but next week things look to dry out across much of the belt and temperatures begin to shift into a warmer than normal mode. With the dry down across the belt next week, that's pretty typical for this time of year. April's the last month of the rainy season, and typically rainfall winds down by approximately May 1st. So kind of a timely end there. You know, ideally like to see a little more soil moisture here for Safrinha development. But all in all, they've improved over the past month's time frame. And the only thing to monitor, again, the temperatures are warmer than normal. And does that start to maybe trim some of the pollinating corn here during those types of temperatures?
Hey, thanks, Mark.
My pleasure, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online at willag.org. There you can click and play our ag programming anytime you'd like. The Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy podcast as well. Click and play from the website or hit the podcast tab where you can subscribe in each of those players to the individual podcast for the programs. It's all part of the service that comes to you from Illinois Public Media and University of Illinois Extension. The Closing Market Report theme music is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.